It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts, Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw, speakers for the Amazing Facts Ministry, as they now open the Bible and discuss themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned, because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Hello, friend, and welcome again to Bible Talk, where the Bible speaks to us about issues that affect us today. Gary, last time we were here, we promised that we would this time discuss the millennium. We've been talking about hellfire and how long it's going to burn and when it's going to take place and where it's going to take place. When we talk about when hell is going to take place, this brings us to the study of the millennium. What is the millennium all about?
Yeah, you have to understand, John, the millennium, because hell takes place at the end of what we call the millennium. Now, when you look at it in the Bible, though, you'll never find the word millennium. That's just a word that Christian scholars have coined because it simply means 1,000 years. It comes from the word milli, which means 1,000, and annum, which means year.
So in the book of Revelation, we read about a period of 1,000 years. This has got to be a special 1,000-year period for the Bible to go so far as to point it out, identify it, and really devote an entire chapter of God's last day book to it. So what is so special about this 1,000 years?
Well, during this 1,000 years, according to Revelation 20, the final, what shall I say, the experiment with sin, the problem that sin has caused, is all wrapped up and culminated. And then at the end of this 1,000 years, sin is completely done away with the destruction of Satan and sinners in the fires of hell.
So with this millennium, what I'd like to take the opportunity to do is find out when the millennium begins. We'll know when it ends because it'll end 1,000 years after it begins. When it begins and what's going on and who's implicated during these 1,000 years. So walk us through that a little bit from the Word of God.
Okay, let's do that. We'll read there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. John says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He says, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years.
Now I can imagine somebody taking a big old chain and tying up the devil. Is that what's going on here?
Well, it also says he puts him into a bottomless pit. You know, what type of chain could hold a supernatural being like the devil? So we're talking about symbolism here. Book of Revelation is full of symbolism. If you threw the devil, according to verse 3, into a bottomless pit, well, if you throw something into a bottomless cup, where does it end up? Out the bottom of the cup. And if you threw the devil into a bottomless pit, he'd come out the other end. So all of this is symbolic and has meaning, and that's what we ought to look at today.
Well, let's do that then. We'll start right off at the beginning. There's a 1,000-year period. The devil is bound there for 1,000 years. Perhaps we should find out what this bottomless pit is that the devil's in during this time.
Yeah, if you look at this term bottomless pit in the original language in the Greek, it's actually the word that we transliterate as abyss. It's the abyss. And this is actually used in the Greek form of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, in Genesis chapter 1, when it says, in the beginning the earth was without form and void. It's the same word used in there, abyss or abyssos.
So this has connotations of an earth that is chaotic and desolate.
That's right. Now, I need to point out, John, that is different than what is often taught about the millennium.
The view I hear espoused again and again is that the millennium, it was going to be this wonderful time when the saints reign with Jesus Christ here on the earth. Now, if what we've just read is true, the last place you'd want to be during Revelation's millennium is here on the earth.
Yeah, because the person who's here on the earth at that time is Satan. And even though he's chained, it says the earth is in this abyss state, this bottomless pit, destroyed, chaotic state.
Now, he is here, according to verse 3 of Revelation chapter 20, he's going to deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. Sounds to me like it says, at the end of the 1,000 years, he's free to deceive the nations again.
Yeah, and that's why you have to go back and you have to look and see what happens at the beginning of the 1,000 years. And that brings you to the topic of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because at the second coming of Christ, all the righteous, all those who've lived for Christ, whether they're dead or whether they're alive, they're all taken to heaven to be in heaven during that 1,000 years. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17 talks about those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with those who are dead in Christ and will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
And so the millennium starts then with Christ returning, the dead in Christ rise, and at that time, the devil is bound for those 1,000 years.
Yeah, and he's bound by the chain of circumstances because while the righteous have gone to heaven, the wicked are actually destroyed by the brightness of Jesus' coming. You read about that in the book of Thessalonians. Was that 1 Thessalonians chapter 1?
And so then if the devil is here, he's bound here because, well, he's got nothing to do and he's got nowhere to go. And those circumstances keep him here, stuck here, confined to the earth all the way through Revelation's 1,000 years.
That's right, John. In fact, it was 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. It says, "To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this happens at the same time, according to verse 10, as when the righteous are glorified by God. It says there, "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints." So the same flaming fire that glorifies God's saints also destroys the wicked at the second coming of Jesus.
Now, there's a lot to talk about there, and we could go several directions there. We're going to hold that thought for another study at a future time when we really dig into and delve into the subject of the second coming of Jesus Christ. But you've given us the texts and you've walked us through that. We're going to go on to verses 5 and 6 in Revelation 20. It talks about the rest of the dead did not live again till the 1,000 years were finished. In other words, they came back to life.
In fact, John, Jesus talks about two resurrections in the book of John. John chapter 5, verse 28, he says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." Now watch how he mentions two resurrections here. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of damnation or condemnation. And so he says there are two resurrections. There's a resurrection of life, and the people who come up in that are all the righteous, those who've accepted Christ and have given their lives to him. But then there's that resurrection of condemnation or damnation. That's what it's talking about, the wicked there in Revelation chapter 20.
So the devil is here on the earth during the 1,000 years, all dressed up, nowhere to go, no one to tempt, no misery to cause. God's people are all in heaven, the devil's people, if you like. Why, they're either asleep in the grave or they've been destroyed by Christ's coming.
Yeah, John, I like how it's described here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. "I beheld the earth, lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. All the hills moved lightly. I beheld, lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness." Now watch this. "And all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger." So when the Lord comes, it just quakes the whole earth. All the cities are broken down, the mountains are moved out of their place, and life as we know it comes to a screeching halt. And there's no way that this planet can even sustain life at that point.
So at the end of the 1,000 years, the Bible says Satan is loosed out of his prison. Explain that for me. What does that mean?
Well, the thing that looses him is, you have to go over to chapter 21 to kind of put this together in Revelation. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, where God's people have just spent the last 1,000 years, it actually descends out of heaven and lands on this planet. Now, during that 1,000 years, the saints have been up in heaven, and according to Revelation 20, verse 4, they're actually going over the record books of judgment. They're examining the record of judgment and learning why some of the people aren't there. Why are the wicked excluded from heaven? But at the end of the 1,000 years, that city descends on this planet with the saints in it, with God in it, and at that point, God resurrects all the wicked for the final execution of the judgment.
Now, I'm thinking about this, can imagine somebody saying, why would God go to all that trouble? What's the point? If they're already dead, why in the world would he raise them up just to dead them again? Now, is that redundant, or does God have a good purpose for that?
Well, you know, God does everything for a purpose. We might not always understand why he does it. We can try to delve into it, but whatever God does, God does for a reason, and it's good.
And it's true, too, that many of these people would have died lost without having to acknowledge or without having had acknowledged God's righteousness and his judgment.
And I believe, too, that the saints, when they're in heaven and they're examining the record books of judgment of why certain people are excluded, they're going to think, oh, if that person could just have seen what we see now, if they could have seen heaven, then they would have given their life to the Lord. Well, the fact of the matter is, when that city lands on this earth, the Bible says the walls of it are transparent. And the wicked will come up and they'll be able to see through the walls. They'll see the pearly white mansions. They'll see the streets of gold. They'll see the glorified saints in their glorified bodies. And in spite of all that visual evidence, they will still allow themselves to be deceived by the devil to try to take the city by force.
It says that in verse 9, doesn't it? As amazing as this seems, something rather incredible is portrayed in Revelation 20 and verse 9.
Why don't you read that for us, John?
The Bible says, they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
What did that fire do?
Devour them.
And that's our topic. That's why we're covering the millennium here, is that when the wicked go up against that city, that's God showing the universe that these people are completely unsavable, that even if they had the full light of the knowledge that God exists and God is righteous and holy, they still would not repent. They are not safe to be left alive. It's like a dog that has rabies. You know, it might be your pet dog, but it's dangerous. And it poses a danger to the whole family. You have to put it out of its misery. And so God has to do what the Bible says is his strange act. He has to destroy sinners because they've clung to sin. And that sin jeopardizes the throne of God itself.
Now verse 10 says, in contradistinction to verse 9, instead of being devoured, they were cast into the lake of fire. They were tormented forever and ever. Just very quickly, for those maybe who've missed previous Bible Talk studies, forever and ever really means?
Well, the word forever is defined over 50 times in the Bible as something that ends when the life itself that it's referring to ends. So these people are not given eternal bodies. And when their bodies are consumed into ashes, then they are forever destroyed.
The Bible even goes so far in verse 14 to call what takes place in the lake of fire the second what, Gary?
It's the second death.
And those unsaved, wicked people have been destroyed in Revelation's lake of fire and receive the second death. A big subject, a great subject. We've answered a lot of questions. We may have raised some questions, so we may revisit this again. We are so glad that you've chosen to join us today. Thank you for being here. God bless you richly. Join us again on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for BT111. Is the devil in charge of hell? The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678, or email us at bibletalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.